This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Boy, I had to fight it back there, fellas. Welcome into The Drive.
You needed to poop?
I didn't until you just said that.
That's where you may have been fighting.
No, I went back there, went to give me fill up a little water. They got an array of Girl Scout cookies back there.
Hey, what's your favorite kind? What's your favorite?
That lemon one.
What's your favorite, Tyler?
That lemon joint.
Peanut butter patties.
Oh, man. I'm that the coconut with the little lines.
I don't like anything coconut.
I don't like coconuts either. Not a big fan.
Good job,
oh,
bro.
Oh, man.
Disgusting, Clint.
Oh, yeah. You two. One picked a lemon, one picked a peanut butter patty.
That lemon one. And then the regular shortbread one.
The least sexiest cookie in the bunch. Y'all go with.
Listen, man. We don't like coconut. You don't have to get like a cornered badger right now, man.
Who doesn't like coconuts? Or corn.
I don't like coconut. I'd actually say
the most bland of them is the one Ron was about to bring up, but I like those two. No, the shortbread.
The shortbread, they're just the regular ones.
Oh, yeah, they're all good.
Those are pretty plain, Jane, but they're delicious.
That lemon, well, they put that lemon one, and I looked, but it was the one right there sitting there, and they're screaming.
You didn't grab one?
I did.
One of them can't hurt you.
Did y'all see that study that came out recently?
What was it?
They tested every single Girl Scout cookie. And every single flavor or version of Girl Scout cookies available to you and your taste buds contain like a kind of eyebrow raising amount of metal in them.
Really?
Yeah, it was a study they did. It was just like a month or two ago. But
that isn't deterring me.
Oh, me either. There's more, you know.
Just trying to.
Tyler's trying to end the Girl Scout cookie.
Nah, I mean, dude, I'm about to pound like five or six dark liquors tonight. I ain't worried about a little metal in my cookies.
Fair.
You know what I mean?
That is a man that knows what he's doing to his body.
I prefer not to have metal in my cookies, but I hear you.
Is that the new thing now, is metals in foods?
I just heard about these Girl Scout cookies having some, I don't know, if it was like plutonium or...
Wow.
Aluminum or...
I may have to go try one to see if it tastes different. Yeah, if it tastes different. I'll do it in the break.
Tastes like copper.
Yeah. All right. I wasn't here when the Laramie Tunsil trade went down with Washington.
Yeah.
But, listen, leading up to it...
You were at Toy Story.
I was in line. That was a long line. 41 minutes. But... I do remember a lot of conversations leading up to it. We on this show were big on the, hey, I think it's time to kind of get out of the Laramie Tunsil business. We had conversations of that, and I know we were aligned on that. And I know many of you were. Many of you, again, I wasn't here when it happened. I would imagine the vast majority response based off how people talked about Laramie Tunsil early was happiness. Was excitement, was yes, he's gone, all this, especially when you saw ultimately what they got from him, the amount of picks they got. I wonder from those who were in the camp that we were in, the camp of excitement, the camp of, like, I agreed with this move. This feels like the right move to make. Now that you have an idea up to this point how they have decided to handle the offensive line, obviously trading Laramie Tunsil, moving on from Kenyon Green, moving on from Shaq Mason, bringing in Lakin Tomlinson, bringing in Ed Ingram, bringing in Trent Brown, bringing in Cam Robinson, all the moves they've made. Now that you see how they've handled this, not a big you know, big time get that you were hoping for. Not a, like, you know, we talked about it yesterday. More bargain feels, more bargain and leaning on the coaching improvement. Now that you've seen what they've done, if you could go back, if you knew this is how they were going to handle it, would you still be in the camp of moving on from Laramie Tunsil?
Absolutely, 100%.
Because I know you haven't agreed with the route they have taken.
Not one
with
bit.
This.
But I can't even. I'll be honest with you, I have a hard time making sense of it. But
even though you, even knowing,
yes.
All right, this is what they yes. were going to do, you would still yes. go with the Tunsil move.
Get him out of the building. Everybody else will be better. I feel that strongly about it. I absolutely do. And now, look, it sounds like a just unbelievable, unbelievably disrespectful comment about Laramie Tunsil. It's not meant to be that way. Laramie could go to Washington and join an offense that has a different set of leaders, that's already set in their ways, and all he's got to do is step in and play left tackle, and he'll be fine. The reality of the situation in Houston was you have a lack of alphas. You have a lack of leadership. Make of that whatever you want. You have a void of leadership on the offensive side of the football. You have a head coach that's a defensive-minded head coach that appears to hold his defense to a whole different standard than he does his offense. And the fact of the matter is when you have a player that is wired the way Laramie Tunsil is, whether he wants to be or not, that is going to permeate throughout your offensive roster. And I don't think his talent was worth that impact on this roster.
But what they've done to replace it is, and either the overall moves they've done, what they've done to replace yeah. it, like, that's what I'm struggling with. I'm with you because there was nobody more on the, all right, I think they've got to move off of this. But I also thought when they moved off of this, it would be at least, you know, one Pro Bowl caliber player out and maybe one Pro Bowl caliber yeah. player in. And I don't think they have done that.
How about just a proven starter?
Cam, I think Cam Robinson probably fits that.
We got a stretch to make him fit, though. Jacksonville didn't want him. They traded him midseason, and now Minnesota gets their guy back. But you're right. I mean, look, I think he's a starting caliber player,
yeah.
yes. But the two places he's landed in the NFL have both said, oh, we're good. We'll move on from him. So,
yeah,
but, yeah, you're right. I don't want to minimize that move.
I think I tend to stand on it, but I don't even know at this point if they've broken even. If that makes sense, in terms of like
just talent,
overall talent they have not. But I don't even like. I'm not sure if they've broken even on that. I think I will still lean to that because I do think maybe a change in mentality, and I think he was a big part of that. May increase that,
yeah.
But it's a little tight.
Yeah.
I like in my mind moving on from Laramie Tunsil. I would not have guessed resulted in that they would look like this.
Right, agreed.
And as I'm seeing some people texting in, getting rid of Laramie Tunsil's addition by subtraction, I think that's kind of where you're rolling. A lack of leadership, true. I can see that. So I lean that way, but it's. I just thought it would look a lot different.
Ron, I'll argue. That D'Amico Ryans moving forward will be a better head coach than he was had Laramie Tunsil been on his team.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how much of an impact I think that move will have on his football team.
You thought him being their handcuff.
D'Amico Ryans screwed up. D'Amico Ryans screwed up early on being so pro Laramie Tunsil. Right now, there's no doubt about it. D'Amico Ryans said it. First thing he said when they talked about, what are you going to do in the offseason? I want my guys to enjoy the Super Bowl, and then we're all going to come back to work. We'll get our ass back to work. You cannot hold a team accountable when the highest paid guy is sitting back there in sweats watching, going to the press, thanking the head coach and the general manager for giving him the time he needed to get right. D'Amico, in my opinion, D'Amico at that point in time lost the real ability to put his foot down and say, "Hey, man, you remember watching training camp, and they got Kenyon Green running laps because he jumped off sides.
Said, you think, and you then think you got Laramie, whatever
you got Laramie Tunsil during the season leading all offensive linemen in false starts. Like, what kind of sense does that make? Right? Like, now you can actually make a dude run laps and it means something. Before, you were just picking on Kenyon Green.
Yeah,
that's the value in this thing.
No, I think it was that.
Breaking news from Sports Radio 610 is presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app or visit BetQL.com today.
All right, Tyler, there's some breaking news. What you got?
That's right. Opening day is nearing for the Astros. This is some Astros breaking news. Some we've been talking about, some we've been looking for, and here it is. The Athletic's Chandler Rome, he reports that sources tell him the 22-year-old Cam Smith, he has and will officially make the Houston Astros opening day roster for 2025. Welcome to the show, Cam Smith, officially.
All right, there it is. We were wondering, there were potentially, we talked about it yesterday, there were three spots there that they were looking to fill, and Cam Smith, wow. To imagine where he started in this when spring training started, for him to have actually put himself in the position to have made the team, it had to go exactly how it did. Him relentlessly hot and just forcing the issue on this thing. And Clint, to me, I would hope that this means he is your starting something. And I'd imagine right fielder. He is your starting right fielder. I would hope that this doesn't mean, and I would be shocked off my ass if this meant that he was coming up here and not getting every day at bats. But I don't get the sense that he's a platoon guy or a bench guy. I would imagine that Cam Smith is your right fielder and he's hitting somewhere sixth or seventh in the order. And you gotta love it to me to see what he has done to force the issue. He forced the issue with his play.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there was a huge opportunity with the Astros, whether it be at third base or right field. There was a huge need for another bat in the lineup that could bring a little bit of pop. Like we mentioned earlier, the youthfulness, the excitement, the fire, the everything he brings to the team, I think is much needed. And the opportunity presented itself, and he went out there and he grabbed the bull by the horns. And look, crazy to think that if this dude goes out there and performs well. Look, it's talking about struggle early. Okay, whatever. I mean, who gives a rip if he starts two for the first 30? Who gives a damn? He's going to bat 9,000 times this
year. By the way, Clint, he has got to, like, really, really struggle to get yo-yoed back and forth.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he should just be up here.
Well, I mean, look, here's the thing is, who would have thought that when you traded Kyle Tucker and the contract, that the money you were going to have to pay him, avoid paying that contract, you get your future right fielder. Now, I know I'm putting the cart before the horse. I don't know if he's going to be a forever right fielder. I don't know what the hell is going to happen. But if this kid comes up here and continues to play well, whatever play well means from a statistical standpoint, if he continues to contribute and he is your everyday right fielder and he stays healthy, your right fielder will mean more to this team this year than he did last year. And it was Kyle Tucker because he was injured the whole damn time, damn near. Yep. So to think that you get your right fielder in a trade with Kyle Tucker and the guy has such an upside the way that Cam Smith does, could end up working out beautifully for Dana Brown and the Astros.
It feels huge.
I gotta imagine Clint's over there with a real good sports boner over there.
Oh yeah, baseball boner.
With just the thought of, hey man, they've decided to come out and say, yeah man, our corner outfielder are two guys who have played the positions that they're playing for maybe combined a month.
Hey, not even full spring training, Chief.
How long has he been playing right field? What, 2 weeks?
First time. This spring training, first time.
Are the days in double digits?
And then Altuve has just started now.
First time.
He looks like
it. And as Glenn is like, yeah, this defense thing.
Tell me about how important that defense is again.
God, the corner outfielders. Is a second and third baseman.
Yeah, right. You got a second and third baseman playing left and right field to start the season.
That was a no-brainer for me.
Tell me again how important the defense is.
We understand, well, at least that right field move we understand. The other one, I don't know. But we understand the move, but Clint has been talking about it for a minute about this defense, and they have thrown.
Well, this is one where I just got to be the better man. I can't tell you how many people in random conversations that have either heard us or I've brought it up in conversation have literally borderline disrespected me on Cam Smith being on the opening day roster.
By the way,
I'm not saying that I knew. I'm just saying in general, like, I think it's a good conversation. The kid's balling. Let's talk about it. And people just dismiss it immediately, and here he is making the roster. So all the baseball heads out there, along with as all the defensive guys, baseball is of the utmost importance. Once again, every bit of my ass in Times Square at a city meeting, you
piss
can kiss.
By the way, Chaz comes in for who? Yeah.
Good call.
Chaz comes in for who? Defensive replacement.
He's got to relieve Altuve, right?
Yes. Is that it? Like Cam, between Cam and Altuve, what? Who comes in as the defensive replacement late in game?
I mean, if we're talking, he's got to move. I'd like that turnstile to move back to center field, if we're being honest.
Well, you want to have Chaz, Cam, and Altuve out there?
Well, Chaz is playing center today.
It's not ideal.
I think Chaz comes in for. I think it's Cam right now first because Altuve's back.
Yordan will be. Now it really comes in is what happens when they move Altuve back to second.
Yordan,
because I think there's a real chance that happens by the All Star.
You don't think he's finishing out there?
No. I don't. Somebody texted
Altuve will go to second. Dubon will go to left. Chaz will come in and right.
All these experiments will be
late inning lineup right there. All right, coming up, we'll talk to you more about the breaking news because
EA Sports, it's in the game.
And we'll get your EA Sports, it's in the game. But we'll give you more about the breaking news. Cam Smith, 22 years old, is going to make the opening day roster and presumably play right field. And I'm going to tell you why, as Astros fans, your ass, at least most of you, some of you won't, but most of you should be absolutely excited about this decision. We'll discuss that coming up next. All right.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
If you are just joining us, the breaking news, Cam Smith, according to Chandler Rome of The Athletic, has made the Astros opening day roster. The 22-year-old phenom and centerpiece of the Kyle Tucker trade played just 32 minor league games prior to his promotion, and he has made this team with a just spectacular spring that continued last night as he had a two RBIs with a triple yesterday at his first game at Daikin Park against the Space Cowboys. But he is going to be there, and I would imagine that he will be the starting right fielder for the game against the Mets on Thursday and moving forward. And Clint, to me, and I see some people checking in, your thoughts on this, the decision made by the Astros to bring up Cam Smith right away. And to me, for Astros fans, you have to at least love this. Now, some of you, there are some parts of Astros fans who are really, really, really knee deep into the baseball thing and don't almost give themselves the chance to enjoy just as a fan, but also feel like they are working in the front office too.
Yeah.
So they're thinking of it deeper. But to me, Clint, yes, the move that makes the most sense is, hey, just wait a little bit so we can have that extra year of service time. But the Astros, the decision makers, and this goes from Captain Joe, probably above his head, to Dana, to Jim Crane, where they said, to hell with that service time stuff. We're trying to win, and we need him up there right now, and he gives us the absolute best chance to win, and it's not for us to just wait a little bit so we can get that extra year, which I would agree to most. I can understand how that is the decision that would make the most sense. But they said, no, right now this gives us the best chance to win. And if you're an Astros fan, I would love that decision making and not just haggling over a year.
Well, I am an Astros fan, and I do absolutely love it. I mean, at some point in time, you can't always be the best business decision, right? Now, yep. And it can't always be, you know, what's best for the team based on what we see. I think there's always some give and take. It's a fluid situation, and when you run into a situation like this where there's a desperate need in the outfield, there's a definite need in the lineup with the power that he can bring and what he's shown at the plate in spring training. I know it's a small sample size, but he has shown it versus, I know it's lesser pitching, but same pitching that everybody else has faced. He has shown it consistently, and clearly he's done enough for the organization to buy in from jump and forget the best business decision and end up doing doing what seems to be right from a baseball perspective. And so
they looked at this and said, what is the best team we can field?
That's right.
And who gives us right off the bat? And the Braves said, we don't want to get off that start we got off last year. What gives us the best chance?
Well, but it's super smart too, though, right, Ron? Because what if, let's play the what if. By the way, we can do a segment on this at some point if you'd like. But what if the Altuve thing doesn't work in left field? You got to bump Altuve back to second base. And now you're back to having to use Dubon more than you would like to as a starter in left, or you're having to do something with Chaz McCormick in left. Like you're kind of up in the air. But if you were already doing that in right because you're worried about the business decision of Cam, now you got either Dubon out there, you got Chaz out there. Now you're shorthanded. This, at least from a plan perspective, I don't know what the hell's going to happen, but at least from a plan perspective, it gives the Astros a chance to say, all right, Cam's our right fielder. Now all the resources that we're going to be juggling is going to be in left field, and it's only going to happen if Altuve can't play left and ends up needing to play second. It seems like to keep from juggling second, left field, and right field, this is the right decision as well. So, look, I'm here for it, man. And I know from a fan's perspective, like showing up to the ballpark, or hell, for me, getting home and watching the Astros through the last hour that I get with my two little girls before they go to bed is going to be significantly more enjoyable out of the gate. Yes, because Altuve's in left field. I want to see what that looks like. But also, that big youngster is going to come to the plate, and we get to see him swing the bat and bring hopefully some kind of personality to this team as well. So I'm stoked about it.
Yeah, text line comes through. Cam Smith is as much about, hey, don't look at what's happening in the left field. Keep your eyes on right field. Take the focus off Altuve for now.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to agree with you, but I don't think there's any. I think it would take an absolute idiot to think that they're going to do anything, any move right now that they could possibly make that's going to remove any of the attention off of Altuve, the best Astro of all time, playing in left field and making routine plays seem difficult. Yeah, not that there ain't.
It's not ideal.
There's nothing they can do that would take any attention off of opening day. Altuve in left field is going to be the lead story.
Well, we heard last night on these airways on Area 45, Bob Nightingale, USA Today, talked with the fellas and said he expected this to be the case, and it is the case. That is the reports right now. By the way, I'm going to read this just as it is written because I don't want to mess this up. The fastest growing All Astros Talk podcast is out there, folks. New episode, The Big Orange Wagon, posted last night. Talk Cam Smith, Altuve Stuff Show.
You're reading it as it's written. I like it. Keep going.
And opening day for the Astros. So check it out. It's Patrick Creighton and our guy, the executive producer of The Drive. Mr. Tyler Milner as well on that. They put out multiple episodes a week. So check it out anywhere where you get your podcast, the Odyssey app, the Big Orange Wagon, as they've talked a lot of Cam Smith as well. By the way, this story here, and we've talked about this off the air. I feel like I want to retract my original statement that I made. I don't know what the hell's happening to Mookie Betts. I hope to God they find out what the hell's happened to him. Mookie Betts, as you know, the Dodgers already started their season against the Cubs in Tokyo, but he didn't because he was sick. And this sickness has gone on for like a month plus. And I don't even know if he's still going to be ready for the regular season to start. Mookie Betts is dealing with an illness, and he's lost. This originally he had lost 15 pounds. This coming from Mookie. Mookie said, it feels like my body is just kind of eating itself. He says, in a week of a mystery illness that has cost him more than 20 pounds and kept him out of action. What the hell does Mookie have?
Well, we don't even need to be talking baseball. Like, Mookie needs to hang up the leather, put the cleats down, take your ass to whatever specialist is in California out there. They got a ton of big-time specialists out
there. Well, Clint, I'd imagine.
Figure out what's going on. Hell, I saw him in a workout. Like, he's got a glove on.
Oh, is he still working out?
I don't know if it was today, but I saw a picture of Mookie Betts, what looked like Mookie Betts that hadn't eaten in 2 weeks. That's lost. Like,
did you tell that he looks different?
Hell yeah.
You remember I originally told y'all off air, 15 pounds, 2 weeks?
Yeah, you'd sign up for it?
I'd sign up for it right now. I don't know about now, man. We're going on a month. 22 pounds, like 20 night. Plus pounds, man. And my body's eating itself. Like, this ain't no flu. This ain't
doesn't
like
sound
this.
Like something you want to be messing around with.
I'm still thinking about it, but I probably would.
Mookie, you think you can put it in a petri dish and send it Ron's way?
Because I'm telling you, for Mookie, if it's 20 plus for him, that's every bit of 43 pounds for me.
Stomach eating itself.
My stomach, my stomach is eating myself. Imagine to be sick for
all joking aside,
like,
man.
That kind of sick.
No, all joking aside, man. This I don't know what's going on, and I don't know what kind of specialist is telling him, like, hey, man, it's a good idea to be. It's not. It's, you know, no big deal. You're just losing. No, I mean, he needs to be hospitalized somewhere, figuring out what the hell's going on.
Yeah, because they haven't solved it.
I mean, for fluids alone, I would feel like, you know,
I think he's able to intake a lot of fluid.
My body feels like it's eating itself. The hell did he eat?
Hopefully not Monday sushi.
Hell, going on in Arizona. That's where he's been. I don't know, boy. That's wild. But, 20 pounds. That sounds good. But, I ain't running with that thing. All right. Coming up, a really, really difficult night for one of sports' biggest stars right now in this moment. Tough night last night. And I thought Clint really brought up an interesting question involving the Rockets. I thought this was a intriguing question that I think is worth us discussing. That's coming up.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Came down last segment or so that Cam Smith made the opening day roster. And more coming. This from R.A. Alexander. Cam Smith will start in right field on opening day. Joe Espada also said Zach DiCenzo also made the team. Cooper Hummel was informed he did make the team as well. The Astros have yet to announce their final roster spot. But DiCenzo, Hummel as well. I'm a little surprised with DiCenzo because I know there were reports that Cam Smith and DiCenzo were two guys that they felt needed to get everyday at-bats right now and didn't need to sit. And obviously Cam Smith is going to be the starting right fielder. I wonder, does that mean for DiCenzo? I wonder, does that mean that our guy, the first baseman, maybe is a little slowed up. Maybe he's not quite
Christian
ready.
Walker?
Christian Walker's quite not ready. There's some concerns there, so maybe that's why Zach is there, maybe potentially playing first base. Obviously, John Singleton didn't make the club. So that is the latest there. Zach DiCenzo, Cam Smith will be starting in right field for opening day. And Cooper Hummel as well. Big day for him as well. He made the roster as well. So that is the latest there with the Astros. We'll continue with that big story and what all that means moving forward. Clint, last night, a really tough thing. I'm watching it live. Juju Watkins, appointment television for me, watching it live on a Monday night. And she goes down, and it looked every bit of torn ACLs. That's, as you see it, it was not a ton of contact, a little bit there from the defender at Mississippi State, which clearly in the handshake line, they had some issues with it. The USC team, as they had to be separated in the handshake line with the young lady. But There was a little bit of contact, but that knee buckled, and then you saw her reaction, and that wasn't a that didn't look like the reaction of a sprained knee. And later on, she was carried off the floor in a really, I mean, the whole arena just went absolutely silent. And you could see the concern all the way through. Now, they beat the hell out of those girls. They beat them by damn near 50. But the concern was big. And then it was confirmed this morning that USC phenom Juju Watkins has suffered a torn ACL in her right knee. Sources tell ESPN she will undergo surgery. So she is obviously out for the tournament, obviously probably out for some time next year, but just terrible. She is the star of the women's tournament, her and Paige Beckers, and they were in a collision course to meet in the regional final potentially. But she's the star of the women's tournament, and this is a big blow to me. And again, for me, like, she was appointment watching for me. Like, when they had games, I was clicking in to watch Juju.
Well, I'm not quite there yet, but you mentioned her versus Paige Beckers being on a collision course there. That damn sure would have been.
That would have been a big, that had a chance to be in the range of what we were seeing last year.
Oh, yeah. When Angel Reese and
I don't want to quite say Caitlin. It'd been there, but in the range.
Well, I mean, it may not have drew the eyeballs, but I mean, from a sheer basketball perspective, it would have been as good, if not a better matchup with those two going head to head in a winner go home game. So, yeah, man, that you hate to see anybody get injured, and when it's a player of that caliber, when it's a player that for the most part is one of about two or three girls that's carrying the game right now, it's tough to see her go down, no doubt, man. Super likable too, you know what I mean?
Except for if you're Jaden Daniels' mother.
Well, I mean, if you're a rookie of the year quarterback's mother, and you may not want him getting mixed up and worried about relationships right now.
Like, she's a bad person to get mixed up.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's clearly one of those, like, I just want to keep you away from women in general. Not that she's bad. I just want you focused on football.
I'm gonna slide in here.
You would think, Well, look here. I mean, if I was his mama, I'd be like, yeah, come on. I'll let you rent him for one evening, man. I'll let you just that'd be a hell of a matchup, wouldn't it, right? Oh, there? No, boy, I want to buy some stock.
She's his agent too, so I'm thinking to myself, what those kids. Hey,
could you imagine? But yeah, I mean, she, like, super likable chick too. Absolutely. I mean, just a straight dog on the floor. No, it doesn't seem like, I don't follow her every day, but it didn't seem like one of those just give me attention, just all about ball. And you hate
star power.
Like,
people
that.
Like, yes, for the indeed. Last 2 years, people were coming out. A lot of people in LA just coming out to her games.
Yeah,
that Jaden went out there to see her. Maybe a little bit more.
Yeah, I'm just big women's basketball fan. Jaden is, I'm sure.
Yeah. So I think a thing that also jumped to me is where this sport overall, women's basketball is that has been the number one sports story.
Yeah.
And like just to see where we are right now, that the second round of the women's NCAA tournament produces, and I understand who she is, but I'm just saying, in the past, the second round of the women's NCAA tournament that doesn't involve Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese has produced the number one sports story. I much like you guys do, I watch and listen to all these shows. She led every show.
Yeah.
She led every one of those TVs. She led all those shows, a lot of radio shows. She led that, which is why. Oh, hell, also ESPN, the young lady who played at Side Fair, is that where she's?
Yeah.
They did her
Aaliyah Chavez, I believe.
Yeah, where she is her choice, where she's going to play. She's going to play at Oklahoma. They did that live on television.
Yeah.
This is just, it's just wild where women's basketball has gone to where an injury in the second round of the tournament can produce the biggest sports story. Yeah, it's tough. The biggest sports story of the day. All right, I did want to get to this real quick. Jimmy Butler, he is returning to Miami tonight. He has been with the Golden State Warriors, and since they've gotten him, they have gone off 16-3. 16-4 is where they are since Jimmy has arrived.
Jimmy!
But you brought up a really interesting thought here, in hindsight, now seeing the impact that Jimmy Butler has had with Golden State and that crew, is there a little remorse? Do you kind of wish that Houston made a play for Jimmy Butler?
I think for me, and I haven't watched a ton of Golden State.
Also, have to know what that would have meant. Who they would have given up.
Right, sure. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of what ifs, right? We won't know. But like, in Jimmy Butler, it would have never worked for Jimmy Butler because I think it's since come out. I've heard Stephen A. Smith talk multiple times about Jimmy Butler wanted, in this case, Steph Curry. Like, he wanted somebody else.
He wanted to go to Phoenix. He really didn't even want to go to Golden State.
So he wanted Kevin Durant. Like, he wanted somebody to play with that could help carry a team to a championship, a title, and not just wait on a bunch of young guys. So it would have never worked out for Jimmy. I like, that makes me wonder if Jimmy would have ever really serious about coming home. But, you know, just the Jimmy Butler that we've watched fit in so nicely up there and seem to take that team to the next level. I just wonder if the folks that had the whole, hey man, Jimmy Butler's old, Jimmy Butler can't get a bucket the way he used to get a bucket, yada yada yada. I just wonder, for those folks, if in hindsight, if it was like, damn, it would be nice to have that guy in a Rockets uniform. Would it make a difference? Would it, you know, would this team be different right now? I think they would be. I don't know that it would make them any more dangerous than they currently are as constructed.
I think Jimmy is really helped because he's not the one.
Yes, what Stephen A. Smith said, that's what he was looking for. Literally, yeah, that's what he was looking for.
Yeah, he's helped because Steph is out there, and Steph is the one that's attracting most of the attention, and it allows him to especially at this age, do the things he's really good at, and that's all of the other stuff. Like, he can score, but he's not dependent on having to put 25 up a night.
Yeah,
like the focal point
of the entire defense.
And I'm not saying that would be the case here, but Jimmy, you would think, would have one of their major scorers. This would probably be gone. One of their, somebody, one of their major scores. And I think it would have been dependent on Jimmy to have to most nights.
So you're nightly. Good with it. You're
I'm good with that. I just don't think it would have looked the same because Steph is there. Steph and they have a one, and he's a perfect fit to that. All right, what you got coming up?
All right, Ron just mentioned Cam Smith made the opening day roster for the Astros. That is official. Is the young fella ready? And what does he bring to the clubhouse? That's next.